Hi, welcome to the Loaded Die. I'm Button, and today I'm talking with a young man called George, and he's going to be telling us a little bit about his story, which started for him, well, I suppose, when he was a young lad. So, hi, George, welcome.
Hello, thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. So, you've got a bit of a tale to tell. Where do you think your story starts?
Yeah, so my story starts probably when I was in my teens. So I'm a gay man, and I guess my kind of the trauma I went through was the fact that I didn't want to be gay and how I actually didn't just was really finding it hard to accept that and tell people about that as well, and the fear that kind of consumed me.
Okay.
So yeah, that's kind of
Well,
where it was.
how did you come to the realization that you was gay? Well, how did you know?
I guess I knew from the fact that there were when I was at school, I kind of if a guy was nice to me, I liked that more than if a girl was nice to me. When I used to watch WWE on the weekends, and I kind of like the ripped guys, to be honest. So that was kind of the inkling, and the more that kept happening, the more I started to, even though I didn't want to admit it to myself, that was a point where in my head I think I knew that I was gay, but I just really didn't want to even say or think of the words.
Okay, that must have been quite a lonely time for you.
Yeah, so it was. I didn't know anybody who was gay. There was no one in school that I knew was gay, and there wasn't any representation that I could see on TV other than kind of people like Alan Carr. And I, for me, obviously, I have no problem with camp men now, and but I didn't relate to Alan Carr, and I felt like actually he's not me, and I don't want to be like him. So it was quite lonely.
Can I ask you, was there a piece of you at that point? I mean, obviously we're talking about when you're in your teens, and I'm presuming you can only know this from hindsight, but was there a piece of you that disliked a part of yourself?
Massively, my entire identity, because it's twofold, really. I didn't like being gay. I felt shame. There's even today, even though I'm a very happy gay man, sometimes on the odd occasion I feel a bit of gay shame, and it won't be long until that's kind of stamped out of me, hopefully. But the issue with it is because I wasn't being truly myself, and therefore I was putting on a front in other aspects of my life. So then I wasn't actually being who I me, my full self. So whether it's my interests, I was lying about my interests to overcompensate, and therefore I wasn't actually being myself at all. So I didn't really like any part of myself because I was just lying all the time. So it could be about my interests, my like for women, for example, and overcompensating there, trying to prove myself in that respect. And it was just then other parts of me I was not liking because I just wasn't being true. So it's a whole identity crisis for me.
Yeah, I can kind of imagine that. So there was a lot of almost sort of disowning going on, it sounds like. There was a disowning of the real you in place, and you would replace it with what you imagined you should be like.
I think I would even go one step further, saying disowning. When you're a kid, you don't really think about yourself much. You just do activities. That's what I found. I didn't really think about my feelings or who I am. But I guess as you get older, you think about that more. I never even thought about who I was, what I liked, what I wanted. So I totally disregarded all those sorts of things, and I never actually embraced. I didn't even disown, I just didn't know.
Wow.
So yeah, I would say disowning wasn't even, yeah, it was one step further than that.
Right. So there's a piece of you that has obviously worked through that because you're here, you're talking about it.
Yes, yeah.
how did you get there, and what was the cost along the way, if any?
Yeah, so there's a few things. So it's quite a lot, actually. I could go into it in a lot of detail, but there's many things that firstly I would say help me kind of transition from someone who was really timid and lonely to someone who's really fulfilled, happy, outgoing, and confident today, and more than happy to express that he's gay. So I would say a couple of things. It would say, good friends, a good network of friends who you can trust and rely on, someone who you can be open with. And I had that in one of my friends. She was the first person I told that I was gay, and she totally accepted from the beginning. And then there was a couple of her friends after who I told and accepted at the beginning. And that was the first stage and steps to really support me. My friend also put me in contact with an organization that offered therapy. And actually, therapy and having cognitive behavioral therapy for many years after that. And at first it was a free service. And I also, when I went to university, I took advantage of the therapy service at university as well. That kind of helped me explore who I was, what the truth of me was, why that's okay, why it's important to be authentic, and how you can live a fulfilled life by living your authentic self. And that is a nutshell. That is a me. That's I'm trying to capture it in a nutshell for you here, because there is so much more that I had to unpick. There was so much more about who I was, and about my self-esteem, which was rock bottom, as opposed to today, where it's I would say sky high most days. So there's a whole lot of work, and it doesn't happen overnight. So if someone's listening and they are gay and they're struggling, okay, I get that struggle. You're not alone in this. There are other people out there like you, and but it takes work, and it does require that proactivity to, invest in yourself and care about yourself. Because for me, I know it gets better.
Yeah, so they need to reach out and access the services that are around, I imagine.
100%. So I understand it's hard, and that with government cuts in the last year, few years, and not much support in terms of mental health, there can be barriers, but there is support out there. Whether you have to pay privately for sessions, or you access a charity, there are LGBT organizations out there. I would recommend. I didn't know this even when I was younger. I only knew in the recent years. I wish I knew. But there's kind of an LGBT switchboard that you can ring based in London. There's one called London Friend. It's an LGBT switchboard. Again, it's not just people who are in London, it's anywhere. And you can ring up, and you can talk to them about how you're feeling. And they're just there to listen to you. And that already, just listening, and you're saying to them, I'm gay. And they go, okay, that's cool. The fact that that's how they're responding is such a boost already, I would say. So,
Yeah, just to be accepted, because that's probably one of the biggest fears, isn't it? Rejection.
oh, and do you know what? I still, to this day, I have a thing about rejection sometimes, because it was embedded in me so early on. And it's only now I'm getting that away from that fear of rejection. But yeah, and I mean, loads of people fear rejection who are not gay, but it's a big deal for gay people, because you're thinking about it a lot.
So I mean, you're bringing up so many things. I'm writing down here that I need to talk about in the future
That's okay.
podcasts. And one of them is the shame that you mentioned. And I know it as toxic shame. It's shame that hangs on to you and you carry it around like a rotten piece of meat, and you feel like at times everyone can possibly get a smell of it or sense it from you. So that's one thing that I'd like to discuss in a future podcast. And the other thing is, you just spoke about, oh, I lost my thread. Where was you going? What was you talking about?
The support services, their self-esteem.
Yes, the self-esteem. So obviously self-worth and the integration, really, how powerful that need that is for us to heal and become complete and authentic, which is another theory actually that I'd like to discuss. But I don't want to sort of rush through this, and there's some questions that I want to ask, and they're a little bit more personal.
Yeah, that's fine.
And obviously, if you feel uncomfortable, just say, let's skip that one and we'll move on. So can I ask about your family dynamics, as in, are your parents together? Did you struggle any hardship? Have you got any siblings? No major details. I just want to know your structure of your family.
Yeah. So I have a mum and dad. They're together. Okay. I have a brother. So
are you older or younger?
I'm the older brother.
Okay, so that must have been some, because there's some kind of stereotype about being the older sibling, isn't there? Do you think?
Yeah, I would say that the stronger, you've got to look out for your brother. You're the role model for your brother as well. So, you know, if they've got a problem, it should be you should be one person they could rely on. And, you know, the one thing that I couldn't do, I don't think, was be that person, because I had my own issues going on and I needed somebody to rely on. I need someone to lean on, and I had nobody to lean on. So, well, that's how I felt. It wasn't true. I had friends, but that does have an impact.
Okay. So how do you feel that you wasn't able to be the brother that your brother could lean on? How do you feel today? I mean, is that something that you've explored and worked on, or?
I would say, I mean, no, it doesn't bother me, in the sense that I think we have a mature relationship now, as opposed to when we were maybe a few years younger now. And I think he's aware that I probably went through a journey that was quite distressing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and he is, I don't think he suffered with mental health issues that I did. So I think there's a lot of understanding there. And there hasn't been the push from him to be that. I think it's just, I felt that way if a comment was made to me in the past.
Right.
But that the past is the past now, isn't it? And for me, it's done. And all I can be is, and I've always been open, kind of, there if he needed me. And actually I know that if he's come to me with a problem in the most recent past, then I've been there to talk to him.
Okay.
So, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, years ago I couldn't be that stereotype, but I am who I am, and now I'm here, and I'm, you know, I'm definitely, I feel like I'm a good brother.
And so it sounds like there's, I mean, the relationship with yourself about that sounds like it's healed, or certainly healing.
Yes, I think that you know, mention self-worth and self-esteem. The key word there is self,
yes,
isn't it? Like
yeah.
that kind of key word is, do you know yourself enough? Are you confident in your actions, how you feel about yourself, all that sort of, you know, are you being authentic? So that's the kind of, if you're not being authentic, if you're not being true to yourself, if you're not being honest and open, then I really think that kind of does have a little bit of an impact on your worth and esteem.
Yeah. Okay. So you had no traumas in your childhood, but, you know, your family life was good.
So yeah, family life was good. There wasn't anything in particular that stood out. However,
okay,
the whole coming out process was challenging, to say the least.
Yeah.
So
I suppose what I'm trying to get at is, you know, it's often that people who come from, you know, a background without any traumas, and have had, whose parents have had a successful pregnancy, and, you know, obviously genetics are involved in this, but quite often people who have suffered less traumas have a certain amount of bounceable backness, and they're able to get up quicker than those who have had a traumatic past before a trauma event.
Okay.
So I'm, you know, I mean, you sound like you've kind of bounced back. I know I'm not diminishing what you've gone through because, you know, I can't even put myself there. But what I'm saying is that, you know, you may well have had a certain amount of bounceableness before this.
So I would, I may have done, I think, yeah, I think I'm probably quite resilient. I think that's what I, but it does take a lot of, I think a lot of support with therapy recognizes that.
Yeah.
So reflecting on what has gone well in the past, you know, when something's happened and you made a decision, has the world fallen apart? Do you know what I mean? Like, has some everything gone bad? And having that kind of almost programming in my head has helped me with this. So now I'm quite upbeat and positive, because if something knocks me now, I'm rejected by a guy and I really want a boyfriend, like, that can be quite hard.
Mm-hmm.
I bounce back quite quickly now.
Because
a couple
you've
of years ago, that wouldn't be the case.
So is that because you've got history to show that actually I survived that last time and it was okay?
That's what, you know, that's one example, and it's not very traumatic getting dumped by someone you've only known for a few months or whatever, but like, it's kind of a, I think, yeah, like I've survived things where I've come out and my coming out wasn't particularly easy at all.
Mm-hmm.
It was very, very bumpy, and you know, I look back and there's things that I've taken action basically, and I've survived. It's turned out as successful.
Yeah.
So I use that experience to build my confidence.
Yes.
Because without doing that process, I don't think I'd be a confident person I am. And there's people I think who haven't necessarily gone through traumatic experiences, and they might not have the same resilience as me because I've gone through that traumatic experience of really having to accept I'm gay, come out and being rejected, and then having to come out again. Because I when I came out, it wasn't all, you know, it wasn't all great. I was told to go back in the box, and then I had to do it a year later. So it was, you know.
So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I can, you know, I'm happy to discuss my coming out story. So as I mentioned, as a lot of people, I talk to a lot of my gay friends, and they tell a few friends first, they test the waters, their friends know for a few years, and then they'll tell their family. And I told my friends, a few of my friends, more and more people were knowing. My friends' parents, other friends and all that sort of stuff. I went to university, which was a massive help. And then I went to tell my mum on the end of second year of university, and she kind of looked at me in disbelief and said, "But how can you?" Because at first I told her that I was bisexual, which is a total lie. I'm gay. So then it was just a case of, well, you can't be either gay or straight. And which
she said,
is
"What?"
Obviously,
sorry, it was a bit muffled.
She said, "That's okay." She said, "You're either gay or straight. You can't be bi."
Right,
which
okay.
is obviously not true. People can be bisexual. So I said to her, like, "I think I'm gay." And then she said, you know, she then waited till the next day, picked me up from work, and took me down, like, took me to like a local pub. And she said to me, like, she looked at me and she's like, "You can't, I don't understand. You can't tell your dad. He'll be devastated. And your brother wouldn't understand."
Wow.
And dad's got a lot going on at the moment with work, so you can't tell him.
How was you feeling at that point?
I was numb.
Okay.
I really thought to myself, if this is how mum reacts, what's dad going to react like? Because naturally, I don't know if this is a common feeling, but you think that your mum is going to be the one to be like, "It's okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to support you. You're my son." And you might think, oh, dad is this masculine man who kind of wants his boys to be men and all that sort of stuff, and does being gay challenge what a man is meant to be?
Yeah, I think there's something about, if your parents can't love you, nobody's going to.
Yeah, well, in yourself, that's not true on the external, but in
No,
yourself,
but
that's how you
that's,
feel, isn't it? Yeah, like it's like, oh my God, are they about to reject me?
Wow.
But yes,
And
so
how
that was
old were
quite
you at that
hard.
point, George?
I was, how old was I? I think that I was 20. I was
Okay.
20 years old. So just about to turn 20, I reckon, because it was in the summer.
Okay.
So I might have been 19.
So what
So
were
that
your
was quite hard.
response? So she said to you, you can't tell your dad and your brother's not going to understand. And your response was.
At the time, I think it was just a feeling. All I can remember is the feeling.
Okay.
So it was that sinking feeling that I'm numb. I've told her she's not accepted it. What do
Right.
I do? And all I remember was re all I remember is actually replaying the conversation to my friend, and he's gay. He's a few years older than me, so he's come out to his parents, and so he was in a different place to me at the time. And he was just like, "Your mum is a," and he said a bad word, which you don't want to say on your podcast.
Thank you.
But but do you know what I mean? Like, there's. It was like, and I was I think I needed to go back to my friends for reassurance. Is there something wrong here? Am I wrong? Am I fundamentally flawed? And thankfully, my friends caught me and were like, "No, she is the problem."
Right. Okay. So when you said you come out the box and then you went back in, is that the going back in bit?
That is the going back in bit. Yep. So it was.
So.
I went back to university. And going to a university in a city, especially a very vibrant city where I think there's more likely to be other gay people than in East Anglia. I go back and life's normal, and I'm very happy when I'm at university because I li le led a different life at university.
An authentic life.
Authentic, happy, fun. Everybody accepted me. It was okay. I did not want it to end. I was gutted when it ended.
That must have been so hard, putting away the authentic you to come back to a place where you knew that there was that issue
Definitely. It
waiting.
was that, I knew it was coming, and the closer and closer I got, I was finishing my assignments, getting my dissertation in. And then it started to settle in, I think, a few days after that. It's coming to a head soon, George. Like, I can't just, I can't go back. And, I went back, and all of a sudden, the worlds, even though the two places are worlds apart, where I grew up and where I went to university, my authentic self was becoming more obvious, like I was wanting that more than this kind of shelled guy who'd nothing that, I wanted that more. So, with that and the support of my friends and kind of a plan in place to help me, it came to a head again, and I came out to everyone at that point.
So how was that? Can you tell us a little about that?
Yeah, so Mum knew that I was getting upset. She saw it, and it was on a daily occurrence. And then I said to her, "I need to talk to you." And she went, "Right, okay, we're going to the library." So I was like, "Right, we're going to the library, random, just to take a book back." And I just said to her when we got in the car, "Look, I'm gay. Like, I am gay. Like, you know this already. Like, I don't." And then it was like, "Oh, does this person know? Or that their parent will know then." And she was worrying about all these other people who mean nothing to her because she doesn't see them often. And then she went, "Right, well, you've got to tell Dad." So she drove us back to the house. She got out of the car. I was quivering behind her. She stormed into the house. No kind of, hesitation at all from her. She turned off the TV, which he was watching, turned round, and I go in panicked to the room, and she went, "He's got something to tell you." And I sit down, and I burst into tears, and She's sitting there watching this. Dad is like, "What the hell is going on?" And I said, "You know, I've had depression. I've had a counseling. I feel suicidal." And you know, he's looking at me like, "What the hell is going on?" I was going to swear then. "What the hell is going on?" And I went, "I'm gay." And I just had my hands in, my eyes in my hands. I didn't want to look. And I saw him just at the corner of my hand, just looking, trying to see how he's reacting. And he must have sat there for a minute while Mum was screaming, saying, accept him," with tears running down her face. You know, that in that whole experience is traumatic in itself,
Yeah.
let alone the actual coming to terms with it and trying to work on myself. So then Dad kind of gets up after like maybe 30 seconds to a minute, walks over to me and gives me a hug and says, "You're more of a man than most people." And,
Oh,
you
George.
know, he said, "It doesn't matter who you love, you can't help who you love."
Wow.
And
That's
he hugged
really,
me.
really moved me.
So it's, yeah, and it, you know, even to this day, something like that. And the thing is, I think sometimes, you know, if I looked at my dad, I think he has had traumatic experiences in the past, and I wonder if he's bounced back because of that, and
Yes.
therefore something like this, even though after there, I think he, from what I heard, he was having conversation with my brother. I think my brother was maybe he was a little bit surprised and wanted to talk to my brother about it, but it was very much like, I think he knew how to react. He knew that maybe he wasn't that happy with it, but he knew that if the situation was Mum was acting ridiculously, I had my hands in my, you know, my face in my hands, bawling, crying, and he needed to, you know, calm the situation down. And I think he
Yeah.
just knew how to react. And, you know, I think he was kind of remarkable at that point.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that strikes me through that is that your mum's reaction was something, it's almost like she was shouting at herself,
Yeah.
not your dad. And the fact that you say, you know, about your dad having history of trauma previous to this would indicate that perhaps he was hypervigilant, and most people who have suffered a traumas, multiple traumas, are ready to deal with, you know, events that happen. Because
Yeah.
we're waiting for the next one, or, you know, we know we've survived, as you were saying earlier, we know we've survived through this, that, and the other, and we can cope with stuff, so we'll just do it. So, you know,
Yeah.
that's, but wow, what an amazing story. Was there, I mean, you briefly mentioned suicide, and, you know, I'm quite well known for usually going straight to the point, but I've
Yeah, that's
kind of
fine.
gone very gentle with this one. But was there a point there that through all of that, from the very beginning, where you didn't want to be here anymore?
Yeah, so you know, multiple times, but it depends on like when people say I was suicidal, you know, what does that mean? Like,
Yes.
I think it mean for me, what that means is saying things like, "I don't want to even be here anymore. I don't want to live. There's no point in me existing. I
Right.
just wish I'm like saying things like, I just wish I was dead. I wish I was not having to just, oh," and having like, I would thoughts like, would I be better if I was just not around? Would I just
Right.
create this unhappiness? So
So
those are
was
things
it that
I'm saying.
you didn't want to live, or was it that you didn't want to do what you knew you needed to do?
Oh, that's a good question. I think it was a case of I concluded early on that they were not going to accept this, and life was going to be terrible after us. They was going to get disowned, and I didn't know what I was going to do, because you know, at a young age, you can't. It's hard to stand on your own 2 feet. You know, like you don't have the money behind you, or you don't have like a job, maybe, or like you don't have if you lose your family, who do you have around you? Who are you going to rely on? It can't be I'm going to rely on my friends, because you just feel like you're just going to be a burden on them. So, your family are meant to be the your backing. But yeah, so I think that made it. I think it was just a case of I don't know what to actually do. If I tell them, I know I've already convinced myself it's going to be bad. So what do I actually do? So it was almost like I just wanted to escape
The
life.
situation.
Like there was I couldn't do it. And I didn't want to, the fact that I went to university, that was a big step for me. I was timid, I was scared. I thought to myself, if I went away to university, well, I didn't even consider it at first, because I was like, oh no, I can't do that. That's too far away. That's not gonna I don't even know how to do that. So,
Wow.
I think it's all about because I was working on myself, and I was working on the fact that I can do things, the fact that I am capable, that when I make decisions, things can go right for me. Building that up and having confidence in myself allowed me to make that move,
Yeah.
and therefore that progressed me massively.
So, can I just go back, because I feel like you kind of wormed out of my question, George.
Yep, sorry.
So, did you want to not live anymore, or was it you wanted to avoid the situation? I think I kind of got it, but I just want
Oh,
to
yeah.
clarify that.
I just don't know. I don't know. I think it would be a case of, I think if I could get myself out of the situation, then that's what I would opt for.
Yes.
But I was finding no routes out. I
Yeah.
was spinning around.
Yeah, I get
So,
that. Yeah. But if we could take
I
that issue away, you would have been fine.
Yeah, I wouldn't have wanted to take my life.
Right. Yeah.
I wouldn't want to, there were times when I was like, do I want to jump in front of a moving bus or train or whatever? Do I want to do that? But I think, like you said, if I could just escape that situation or find a route out, I definitely would not have taken my life.
And
I would definitely would not want to know.
that's really important to ask for anyone feeling like they're suicidal. Is it that I don't want to live anymore, or is it that it's this? Because you need to be sure, obviously. There's no going back here. So, it's really important to try and differentiate between what it is that's causing that feeling. Because one of them's going to change. Well, hopefully both of them will change. But situations change. They evolve, don't they?
Yeah, situations change, they evolve, and if anyone is listening in now and they're in that place where they're like they feel there's no way out, I just would say, do not give up hope, that there is a way out. Like I felt like there was no way out and there was no route, and there totally is. It may be a case that you've just got to make a small or big change, and that's what I did. I made a big change, and it took a lot of courage and bravery. But if I didn't do that, and it's good to have supportive friends rallying behind you, saying I'm saying, oh, maybe I should go to university, and they're like, yes, go, move away. This will be good for you. You will love this. And it took, so they said it every time I met them. They were saying to me, you need to do this, you need to do this. And I did it, and I got no, I wasn't getting supported from my family because they didn't want me to do that. They wanted me to stay local. But thankfully, those friends who pushed me and encouraged me. And then I think my family had no choice but to say, okay, we're going to allow this. And it was just, I'm done. I went, and it made such a massive difference.
Oh, well done, George. That's brilliant. Really good for you on, doing something so out of your comfort zone, and especially without the full support of the people who love you. I mean, that's big enough in itself. So, can I ask you, when was the well, first off, have you ever had a girlfriend?
Well, when I was at school, I had a girlfriend for like 7 days. How was that? awful because I went home and I was thinking about it and I wanted to cry because I was like, what am I doing? I don't want this. So it was terrible, yeah.
Okay. And have you had any sort of sexual experiences with any girls?
Yeah, so when I was younger, I guess if I was going out to like clubs with any guy friends, I'd get on, get with the girls, like do a little stuff with them, like some foreplay or whatever else. But that's as far as it pretty much went, and I did not like it at all. So,
It wasn't your
if you
thing.
needed confirmation, that was it. Like.
Okay, and boyfriends, when was the first time you had a boyfriend? When was your first sexual experience that worked for you, or you that was successful, and left you confirmed with what you believe of yourself?
Yeah, so I would say so it's sometimes a little bit of a disaster really because well I would say I haven't had like an official boyfriend where like I've taken them home and all that sort of stuff. Not because I've not wanted to, it's just not been the right time and it's not worked out.
Right.
So I've seen guys for about 3 or 4 months. I was seeing a guy when I was at university for a few weeks to a few months, but at the time I wasn't out to my family, so I was thinking, no, I can't commit to this. This is making me feel unsettled because they're going to invest in me, I'm going to invest in them, but then I've got to then come out to my parents, and I'm not ready for that. So there were different things, basically. I would say I had sex with the guy at university, and yeah,
Was
I
that
knew
was
then I
that your
was in.
first experience?
Yeah, when I was at university.
And how was you feeling after that? I mean, did it feel
Well, it was
right?
one night stand. It was a one night stand. So what I've realized, especially over the last few years, is that, whether you're gay or straight, bisexual, whoever, it is about, for me, it's about you've got to do what feels right for you.
Yes.
And I think as long as you've set those boundaries and you know exactly what you want. So for me, I find it important to get to know somebody first, find out about them and build some sort of trust through communication. And therefore I know that I can have a much more successful relationship with that. Now, I'm not super experienced in that, but I know that's good for me. However, if I know that it's a one night stand and I meet with someone at a night, I've met someone on a night out in a club or whatever, then I know what my expectation is. I've sussed out that this guy seems safe. It might be another uni student when I was at university, or he's with a group of friends and we're starting to chat and something, and then I've gone home or he's come to mine or whatever or gone to his. So I know it's safe and I know what this is. Like, it's just going to be sex,
Right.
basically. So for me, I need to have boundaries. I need to know what I'm signing up to here.
And that makes you feel safe and in control, and there's no expectations.
Yeah, like I know if I've gone on a date and I'm looking to want a boyfriend, if I've, if it's a case that we're rushing into sex, then 9 times out of 10, it doesn't work out because for me, it's like, well, we don't know each other much. And there's these blurred lines of, well, what is this? Is this dating or is this like a one night stand sort of thing? I've never really gone on to apps and just met up with someone for sex. Like, I don't think feel comfortable with that.
Okay. So for you now, how content are you with your life and your choices and your past trauma?
So for me, like if I reflected on my past trauma, I'll start with that. If I reflect on my past trauma and I tell people about it, sometimes I can get a bit choked up about it because it's a sensitive topic and there's sadness to it, but I like talking about it with people because it's almost like it helps me heal. but also if there's other people who want, and I want people to understand and be educated, especially straight people who think that sometimes I've heard it goes, oh, it's fine to be gay now, so everyone should be fine. And actually that's just not the case. You know, there's expectation from family, people have known you growing up, and then you've gone from someone who's apparently straight, someone who's gay. So there's a whole load of things that you've got to kind of deal with, fears and worries. So yeah, that I've kind of put it to bed in terms of feeling ashamed of being gay. Now I would say, especially in the last year, I would say that I've got to a place where that I'm happy almost every day. Because you can't always be happy. You know, people are sad, have sad days, they have happy days, they have happy moments, sad moments. So, you know, acknowledging that, and without the sad, you can't really have the happy, can you? I don't think so. But I'm pretty happy with every day. I'm open and honest. I can talk about being gay to people. I can talk to it about my parents. I mean, sometimes I feel a bit uncomfortable around dad about talking about it, but like then equally, when it comes up, it's like, well, what are you talking about? You know, if you say, yeah, I'm gay, you know, what you're just saying there is, I like to have sex with men. Like, you know, like, do you want to say that to your parents? Not really, you know. So,
And that's strange, isn't it?
but
Because we don't
overall,
say, I'm straight
I'm
and I'm going to
straight.
have sex
Yeah.
with the opposite sex to our parents. We just
Yeah.
don't
Yeah,
discuss it, do we?
exactly. Yeah. So it's almost like I sometimes actually, then it's just popped into my head actually. If I was straight, would I go, oh, well, I had sex with this woman the other day to my mum and dad? Not really, because they're going to be like, ooh, my child is having sex. Like, you know, so it is an uncomfortable topic for any family, isn't it? So I think, yeah, and that kind of puts me a bit, makes me a bit happier. But I'm happy with holding a man's hand in public. You know, I've dated guys and they're not there yet to hold. I dated a guy recently and he was not comfortable with holding my hand in public, which bothered me. But, you know, so I'm happy to be open and honest about it and talk to people about it at work as well. And I know certain industries, it's probably harder for people to come out as gay. I know there was some research about working in the construction industry and coming out as gay. I imagine that's hard because of maybe the people you may meet and the attitudes that might exist there. But yeah.
Okay. Just very quickly, how is your relationship with your mum now?
Much better. We have a better relationship, but I think one of the reasons for that is because I'm more sure of myself. I can make my own decisions. I do not need to go to her to make my decisions. And I'm confident in my opinion. I'm confident in who I am. So there's none of this blurred lines, because what that does is I felt that then transfers over to my mum, and she's then making decisions. She's telling me what's right and wrong. And that doesn't sit well with me. So I know myself better, and that improves my relationship with my mum.
It sounds like I don't know whether you've ever heard of transactional analysis. There's
No.
a PAC model, parent, adult, child. And each time we engage with another human, we slip into these unconscious ego states. So at the moment, we're having a adult to adult, and maybe a little bit on my part, I'm struggling to keep in the adult and want to go to the child and be a bit silly. But that's typical of me. So it sounds like you've actually gone from being in your child ego state, where your mum was being the parent, and you've slipped into the adult. And when you move into the adult stage, often the person you're talking to slips into the adult stage too. So she's
Yeah.
not, it's almost like, like you said, there was a point where mum was taking charge and this is how it should be, this is how it should be. And you was like the child. And then you, and another thing I can do a podcast on actually, to explain a bit better. But you've obviously stepped out of that child place and gone into the adult, which in turn has unconsciously led her to slip from the parent into the adult so that you can make your own choices, and she's not responding to it from a parental perspective.
Yeah, that, I mean, I would say that, it, you know, if you're putting theory into practice, that is a good example of it. I totally agree. That sounds exactly what's happened.
That's brilliant. And so I'd like to finish off. You mentioned halfway through that there's some help about there, and you said a London group. I can't quite remember. Could you just give us the details of that again, what you know, and then people can perhaps look it up?
There's London Friend. I think that's one of them. And then there's the LGBT Switchboard. So they offer a service where you can call up and someone just listens to you, and they kind of, you know, you talk about your concerns. It's non-judgmental. And I think that's a really good, I haven't used it because I've only found out about it in the last couple of years, but it has been around for a long time. I would have used it years and years ago. And in fact, there was another organization that I actually did use, which was, I think it was the Terence Higgins Trust, which is a HIV charity. So I've not got HIV. It's just that I wanted to ring up about sex advice and relationships. And I kind of spoke to someone on the phone. I said to them at the time, I was like, I'm really struggling with being gay. This was probably years and years ago. It was years and years ago. And it was just nice to hear someone say, I'm sorry you're going through this. You know, you're okay. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. And to hear someone just say that, who you don't even know, was so nice.
Wow. Well, I can't thank you enough for today. You have been an absolute pleasure and blinding guest. You've been so
thank
open
you.
And honest. And I mean, there was times there I just wanted to give you a big hug.
I'm sure I want to give you a big hug as well. So,
and I'm so glad you're here. You know, you're beautiful, and I just, that you're so, so great as you are. You really are. Is there anything you'd like to say, or are you happy to leave it there?
I mean, if anyone's listening and they're gay and they're struggling, I just wanted to say, you know, you're not alone. There's going to be other people who are struggling. There's going to be other people who have got through it. And there's going to be other people who have got really happy lives. And you can get to that place as well. And it is a case of being resourceful and resilient and trying to identify people that you can trust and confide in. Go out and find those services that, because they exist, they just and that's the main thing, really. And you know, do make a change in your life, like do something, make a change. So if something doesn't feel right, if you're anxious about something, it's an alarm bell, and it means that you need to change something. And that's what I always do when I when I get anxiety. I still do that today. I go, something's not feeling right here, so I need to do something. And it can be a minor change or a major change. But, you know, find people to talk to, and, you know, you just feel less lonely.
That connection is very healing, isn't it?
Massively. And, you know, the experience that I've gone through, I feel that I'm more resilient and more optimistic, and I've got drive, and it's given me drive to kind of go out there and get everything from the world. And I still get anxiety and I still get all these things, but I have the drive to go out there and not go back to that place. I want to improve, and I know that I can improve from past experiences and feel better about myself. And I think there's people who aren't gay, or they haven't been through a trauma, and they go through life and they're just not happy, and they haven't taken action, and they just won't take action, and they don't live a fulfilled life. And I think you can live a fulfilled life.
Yes,
you can. You just got to take some action, and you know, it help you change perspective.
Yes, I agree.
But yeah, I just thought I'd end on that, because I'm very much a believer of better things can come if you allow them to.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you there. Well, thank you ever so much, George. You have been awesome. And
No, thanks for
I
having
wish
me.
you all the best for the future. Everyone out there who's listening, you've been listening to Button and George and the Loaded Die. You take care, folks.